Good evening, class. Tonight we're going to be talking about words are the outlets of the heart. We dealt with thoughts, which we believe is the first aspect of rebellion, getting into a person's heart is the thoughts. Then we dealt with reasoning the next week. And this week here, we're going to try to wrap it up. This session here on about how rebellion is manifested and its words. We're going to go through the scriptures that words are the outlets of the heart. And truly, they are. When words are spoken, it only reveals what's been hidden or incubating in a person's heart, and it finally comes out. Jesus said, and I'm trying to find the scripture now, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if you follow that scripture, you'll find out that whatever a person puts in his heart, whether negatively or positively, it's going to eventually work its way through the mouth, the outlet. Your mouth or the tongue is the outlet of the heart. It releases what's been in your heart, and it causes people to either triumph or go into defeat. I would rather triumph and not go into defeat. I'd rather be an asset to God and not a debit or an adversary of God. So class, I got a few points I want you to make, but I'm thinking about the scripture. I want to say it's in Matthew 10. I'm going to look in Matthew 10 and see if that's it. I did not write the scripture down. I want to say it's Matthew 10, where Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If not, I want you to look it up for yourself. One translation said, I think it's the Amplified Bible, it said, out of the overflow of the heart, out of the excess of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But nevertheless, we need to find that scripture. I thought I had it in my notes, but evidently I didn't. But it's a powerful scripture. Let's see if I can find it here. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, it's probably gonna come to me. But let's go on with the notes. I'm gonna take off with my notes. And you double check that scripture. You find that scripture in your Bible and mark it, highlight it, because it's a true statement. First statement is, I want you to remember, that a man who is rebellious in heart will soon utter rebellious words. And here's that scripture, I'm quoting this scripture here. For out of the abundance of the heart, out of what class I said? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And you need to understand that. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Here's the second statement. To know authority, one must first meet authority. Otherwise, he will never obey. And I was contemplating on that statement on the last night. And if a person never had a good rebuke, a good rebuke or a good scolding from someone that's in authority, when you're really not going to know it, because rebuke caused you to die and caused you to experience a spiritual cut, and you, it'll wound you, and it'll leave a mark upon you that you don't want to experience again. I know the feeling. Nobody loves to be rebuked. If somebody said they love to be rebuked, they're lying. But whosoever God loveth, the scripture says, he's chasing it. He corrects it. He corrects. And sometimes correction never feels good. It never feels good, especially when it comes to your spiritual father, and when your apostle or your pastor, whoever in authority over you, sometimes it don't feel good. It might even rub you wrong. And sometimes you might want to rebel. But what it does, it tests your heart to see what's in you. To see, and your response it tells you what's in my heart, how you respond to rebuke, how do you respond to correction. And I'm going to ask you the question, class, how do you respond to rebuke? How do you respond to spiritual correction? Do you take it well, or do you just not react physically, but inside there's a lot of scratching going on inside, that's a little disturbing, like a little whirlwind going on the inside of you. What that whirlwind on the inside is not rubbing you right, and that's some bad feeling on the inside which needs to be corrected, because there has to be a dying on the inside. Complete obedience requires a dying to self. And that's one of the final points we're trying to get out. Matter of fact, the last lesson we're going to teach is some credential for being an authority. We talked about how to submit, but eventually we have to know how to be in authority and the credentials for being one that's a delegated authority of God. So you can't be in authority unless you've been under. And Claire, that's what we're trying to pass you through, the acid test. Yeah, we went through some rough ground these last few weeks, but the acid test is unless I've been under authority, I cannot be in authority. There has to be a dying take place, but there also has to be a resurrection, a place where you come to where you have died, and you're dead to the flesh, you're dead to feeling. I'm not gonna say you're not gonna feel it, but your response becomes different. And believe me, that's when you know you're delivered from that old satanic principle of rebellion, when your response is likened unto the Lord, when you respond like Jesus responded. Jesus is the highest level of obedience, and you can tell by his response and how he reacted and how he dealt with every situation that he could rebel in. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Highest level of obedience. And I tell you what, we can't measure ourselves with one another, but when we measure ourselves with Christ, we know that we've hit the mark. You're hitting the ball, and you're hitting the home run. So to know authority, one must first meet authority. And listen at this now. He must have an encounter with God. Then the foundation of God's authority will be laid in his life. An encounter with God. Then the foundation of authority going to be laid in his life. The foundation of God's authority will be laid in his life. Afterwards, whenever he says a rebellious word, this is what I'm talking about, your response. Your response has to be likened unto the Lord. Whenever he says a rebellious word, even before he completely utters it, he will become conscious of his trespasses, conscious of his word. And he will become conscious of his trespassing, and thus will be inwardly restrained. Becoming inwardly restrained. That's a place that mark that you want to reach to. When before you utter the word, there's something go on the inside and say, those words are not right. That's not God's word. That's not God's kind of thinking. That's not perfect obedience. That's not submission. That's not in the right attitude. And they're going to come up on the inside. And guess who brings it up? The Holy Ghost going to convict us of sin. And through our own spirit, going to convict us of sin and let us know. That's why we got to train ourselves to walk in the light of God's word and to understand what authority and rebellion, the difference is all about. Class, I hope you're getting this, because this is just a lesson that can carry you out throughout eternity. Why? Because you never arrive. You don't stop getting opportunity to respond right. Oh, if you got a wife or you got a husband, you know what I'm talking about. There's always an opportunity. If you got a job, if you're working on somebody's job, if you're in the ministry, if you have a pastor you submitted to, or anyone else in authority you have submitted to, you have a lot of opportunities to find out how you respond, if you're rebellious, or are you completely broken. And you're good to know that. If one can freely speak rebellious words, listen to this now, without any inward sense of restraint, he certainly has not met authority. If you can speak rebellious word class without any sense of restraint. And what restraint mean? Any remote, anything grabbing on the inside of you, any scratching on the inside of you, letting you know that's not right. If you have any sense of any restraint, you know you've never met authority. Because the person that met authority, and we've been repeating this for the last 6-8 weeks, is broken, and his heart has been melted, and so he can be more like Christ. It is easier to utter rebellious words than to perform rebellious acts. The tongue is hard to be tamed. Now, that's James. You read the book of James, we talk about the tongue, but it's a member that can kindle, a small member can kindle one of the greatest flames or fire, because it has to be trained. And the apostle taught the lesson a long time ago. Said the only one can tame the tongue is the Holy Ghost by that inward constraint, that inward conviction, that the power of the Holy Ghost. You have to have a special anointing to walk in ministry and to walk in the place of humility. You can't fake humility. Yeah, you might fake it with men, but you can't fake it with God. God sees right through the cloud. God sees right through the facial expression. God sees right through the attitude. And God sees your spiritual altitude, and they determine where you are spiritually. Very quickly, a man's rebellion is expressed through his tongue. He may agree with a person to his face, but revile him behind his back. And you know what I'm talking about. You may agree with a person to his face, but revile, speak evil against them once you leave his presence. And that's not what God's intention is. And that's what this lesson is all about, not to be so. It is not hard to use the mouth in rebellion. And Satan loves to use your mouth and your tongue in rebellion, because that's, you know, once you get access to your mouth, he got access to your heart. And when you get access to your heart, you have access to your action. You see it? It starts with a thought. Then it goes to a process of reasoning. And then it expels through words. Rebellion. That's the function of it. The people of today's society are all rebellious. Now, we're not talking about the church. The people that in this world system are all rebellious. They only give lip service and outward subjection. But the church ought to be different. The church should be obedient from within the heart. Whether or not there is heart obedience can easily be detected by words which come from one's mouth. Can I read that again, Clam? The church ought to be different, because in the church there should be obedience from the heart. Whether or not there is heart obedience can be easily detected by words which come from one's mouth. It's always revealed. Now, let's look at some examples now of words becoming the outlet of the heart. Now, we went through several over the past weeks. One of them is Genesis 3:1-7, where Eve carelessly added to God's word. She added one statement, and that statement changed the whole definition. Well, it gave Satan a gateway or entrance into her heart. The wrong statement can give Satan access to your heart. You see it? Because he have a play with words. He make a play with your words. And that's how he gets in. He try to confuse you or try to counterfeit what God says. And so he can get you to side or to go into reasoning, and you can come become partners or come in partnership with him. I hope you catch what I'm saying. Although Eve saw God daily, she did not recognize authority. Therefore, she carelessly added her own word. Perhaps she figured that there was not much difference in a few words, more or less. No, even an earthly person serving an earthly master dare not freely change his master's word. How then dare we who serve the living God change God's word? Now, let's look at how she changed. Turn your Bible to Genesis 3 quickly. I'm not going to stay there long, but I want you to see what Eve did and what God said. Genesis 3, beginning with verse 1, and I'm not going to stay here very long. I got pretty much ground to cover, a good bit of ground to cover in such a time. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Satan is preaching the word of God to Eve. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may not eat of the tree, fruit of the tree, of the trees of the garden, but unto the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. God did not say not to touch it. He said, don't eat it. But Satan gained access through her thoughts right here. And then he gave an opening to sin and to commit treason against God. He got into her mind. He got into her reasoning. And then he seduced her and caused her to come against what God said. Don't let the enemy confuse the word of God and cause you to come against what God said. I just like a person trying to find scripture. The devil say, the Bible never say nothing but drink. Say a little wine is good for the belly. And then so you take that and then you misinterpret what God's saying. That's how Satan does. Misinterpret what God's saying. And then you go and get your little drink and then you don't have any conviction anymore because you think it's all right. And then Satan just got access into your soul through reasoning. Then you start comparing other Christians that do likewise, and they just live a happy, go-lucky life. Look like nothing happened to them, but yet you've lost that conviction and that power that condemn wrong acts cannot function and flow in your life. You just rebel against God's word, and then you become, to some degree, an enemy of God. Oh, class, I wish you catch a hold of this lesson. You don't become an enemy of God. Ham broadcast his father's failure. Genesis 9 and verse 20 to 27. Yeah, Ham broadcast his father's failure. He let Satan permit him to expose his father, and he said some things he shouldn't say about his father, and it caused the enemy to come in and bring confusion and a curse upon him and his whole family. His father had to rebuke him by the Spirit of God and cause some things to not go in line with what God wanted for Ham and his brother. Ham went out to tell it to his brother. He first of all, he saw the nakedness of his father. We went through that. But he went out and told his brother. He told his brother, Shem and Japheth. Now listen at this. He who is insubordinate in heart, always expect the authority to fall. He who is insubordinate in their heart, always looking for authority to fail. Don't you ever let that come upon you. Don't you ever let that spirit, that wicked spirit, allow itself to enter into your heart or come into your ear game. Yeah. Always look for authority to fall, or always look for shortcoming in authority. Ham got his chance to reveal his father's fault. His doing so fully proved that he was not at all in subjecting to his father's authority. I'm not going in depth with this. I'm just presenting these things out to show you that the real life situation that what happens when a Christian permit rebellion to enter into their heart, and always got consequences. Don't ever let someone tell you that there's no consequence behind rebellion. Now, Miriam Aaron is another act of rebellion. Miriam and her brother Aaron, which is the brother and sister of Moses, reviled against Moses. Moses, God's chosen man to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God had put himself, his authority in Moses, but yet they despised Moses' authority. Because sometimes people won't be on equal basis with authority. And God will not permit that to happen in his order, in his divine order. God has a divine order, and he will not let human ability come between his divine order, because it's going to cause his plan to go another way. You will not get in God's way. God will cut you off before you get in God's way. You will not turn God's plan another way. If you do, God will have to deal with you. That's why you got to stay away from people that don't have God's will in mind. That they're still self-centered and looking out for oneself and not the things which are of God, or with the things which leadership desire to do to follow God's plan. Get out the way. What you mean? Like Moses told Korah and the children that were following Korah, separate yourself from these wicked people. So learn to separate yourself from wickedness and people that speak wrong words. Wrong words are wicked words, satanic influences. And you have to be mindful. I'm giving out a warning. And this warning, you can't repeat it, you can't rehearse it too much, because the enemy will love to devour the church and bring division within the church. I know a church right now going through some troubled time. The church is divided among themselves because people have rose up against their leaders, and they want to go one way, and they say the way he's going is not right. And then, but they don't know what the will of the Lord is. But I know it's not right, because it's coming against God-appointed leadership. Whether the leader is right or wrong is not determined by them to define that. God has to deal with that. And when you try to get in the midst of that, you might get in God's way, and you might have to go into the pit with the rest of them, because you got in God's way. Because you don't know what's going on. And you don't understand it, but you just didn't got with the group. You didn't got with the crowd. That was true. We're going to look at this a little bit. That would happen to Coral and his company. Had some people that just got together because it looked like it was a good party. It like it was a good party to follow, because they say it's some good thing. They say it's some things seem right. But they got too close to Coral and his gang, and they got too close to the rebellion. They might have been innocent at heart, but they were rebellious in action. I never see that before. The motive might have been innocent, because they didn't really know what was going on. They just got caught up with the crowd, caught up with the people, caught up with the wave that was moving, and they got in the wrong boat. And then God had to perish, called them to perish with the rest of them. Don't get too close to the wrong people. Always separate yourself. I remember when Saul messed up. The Bible said Samuel wept for him all night. And God had to come to Samuel. God said, how long are you going to mourn for this man? Seeing this, it's not you that separated him from the kingdom. I did it. You just told him what I said. Don't get too caught up with the friendship and kinship. Don't get too caught up, because he loved Saul. But God rejected him. So whoever God rejects, I learned that's who I have to reject. We have some people rose up, a couple of ministers a while back, years gone by, and I had become friends with them. And when they separated themselves from our spiritual leader, from our apostle, matter of fact, I'm going to tell you how close my wife. I permit myself to get a little too close. Don't permit yourself to get too close to people where you can't separate yourself. One of them, even Kristen, my baby girl. I'm sure how long it was ago. She was a young baby, now she's 30. So that's 30 years ago. And they christened my young baby, and then so when they separated, they thought I was gonna separate too. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm with my apostle. I'm with my pastor. Choose the whom you gonna serve. And I had to cut friendship. And my little daughter grew up without godparents. Yeah, and so we had to make a decision. It wasn't easy, but God gave you. But God, don't get too close to people where you can't separate yourself. So back to Samuel. I got off my lesson a little bit, but back to Samuel. The Bible said Samuel went to God's presence no more. Somewhere in that 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, around the latter part. So Samuel, after he got through grieving and God corrected him, he said he never went and saw a presence again. And sometimes that's what you got to do. After I separated myself, I never went to those friends' presence anymore, because we didn't see things on the same line. We couldn't talk the same talk. At that time, we couldn't walk the same walk, because his belief system had changed. And I would not let my heart to be persuaded by friendship and kinship. I just thought I'd share that little experience with you, class, because if you stay in ministry long enough, you're going to experience it, and then you're going to be able to discern. Did you feel it? Yeah, I felt it. I didn't like the separation. Yeah, but I had to do what I had to do. So I had to choose this day who I was going to serve. I told my family, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to go with what the Lord say. We're going to keep doing what God say to do. We're going to follow who God say to follow. Amen. Now, let's look at Korah. Korah. Did I finish Moses yet? Miriam and Moses. Let me go back a little bit. These two rebel against divine order. Who? What two? Moses and Miriam. They rebel against divine order, speaking against Moses. They did not know authority. All they knew was kinship. Moses, my brother. Moses, our brother. Matter of fact, Moses, our little brother. He's younger than us. So we're older than them. Matter of fact, Miriam was the one that took a little brother when he was born, put him in a little boat, and then put him in the river. Pharaoh's wife, I think, was bathing in the pool and had one of the servants go fetch the baby Moses out of the little basket that the mother had made and floating down the river. So Miriam was older. So being older, sometimes, boy, I put diapers on you. Boy, I changed your butt when you were small. Matter of fact, Moses' own mother nursed her because of God's divine plan. Yeah, he said that. That's supernatural. And they paid Moses' mother to take care of her own child. Don't tell me God ain't supernatural. Is God not supernatural? But I'm back to Miriam and Aaron. There was Moses' older sister and brother. So sometimes being older, think they got a right to correct you. Yeah, maybe in family business. But when it comes to the things of God, yeah, you're talking about a whole different principle, a whole different law, or divine law you're about to break in. You're about to get into God's divine order, and you dare not put yourself in God's divine order. Yeah, you're getting the wrong way, and if you're getting God's way, the arrow that destined for the enemy, you might get in the arrow way and it get you. Don't get too close. Now, rebellion usually manifests itself in words. No matter how light, listen to this, no matter how light what the words are, or how heavy the words are, it is rebellion and will not go unjudged. My goodness. Rebellious words will not go unjudged, class. I hope you see what I'm saying. We've said a lot of things over the weeks. And the gist of it is, the importance of this lesson, this lesson is to cure you. And God can make you what you ought to be. You become a follower of God. a servant of God, and not men pleasing, and you do what God says, and then your heart will be right. I don't want to just do what God says, and my heart ain't right, because it don't want to count for a hill of beans. I want to do what is right, and my heart right. I want to be one of them without spot or blemish in my heart when it comes to obeying and doing what God want me to do. Now, let's look like Korah for a minute. Let's see what Korah happened. Korah and his company. I'm trying to wrap this class up. The last session we're going to deal with is going to be, like I said earlier, credentials for you being an authority. You need to know what kind of person you got to be made up of. As I said earlier, you cannot be in authority except you've been under authority, as we teach you now. As we'll teach you now. We're teaching you as being one under authority. If you can't be under authority, you cannot be in authority. Why? You can't be trusted. You can't be. Now, Korah and his company, that's number 16. Now, a lot went on in this 16th chapter of Numbers. God had to deal with these people and just got caught up. Just got caught in the way. Some good people, I say good people, got caught up and got in the way. I'm looking for Numbers. Number 16. Don't get caught up with the wrong crowd and get in the way. Get in who way? Get in God's way. Think you're doing the will of God. No, you don't want to get in God's way. Number 16. It's a terrible thing to find yourself in the hand of the Lord. Number 16 and 1. I'm going to go through this briefly, but I just want to get the gist of what's happening, what they said. This one, the highest level of rebellion here with Korah and his gang. You see, Moses and Miriam, what they did could have been corrected. Matter of fact, they got restored. God restored Miriam. Yeah, God said, but she got to be kept out of the camp for a few days. He said, but after that, we're going to bring her back in, cleanse from a leprosy. And God brought her right back into the party. But this thing here with Korah, it wasn't only with words, but it was with action. And I'll tell you what, this rebellion was irreversible. I mean, it got so deep in their heart, it was irreversible. God could not reverse this curse that was they put upon themselves. They got so involved. They crossed the line too far. Don't permit yourself to cross this spiritual line too far. Yeah, you might make a mistake. You might cross that line, but hurry up and get back on the other side. Yeah, we all say some crazy thing. We say some thing with our mouth that our heart ain't in. And what do you mean? Sometimes because we're natural, we get our little feeling hurt. You say some thing with our mouth that our heart just don't believe. And so you might jump across, but hurry up and jump back across that line. Don't let the enemy keep you over there too long. He's going to keep you over there too long. He's going to give you some reason to be over there. And don't talk to too many people about it. And don't let other people know what happened. Because they're going to try to tell you you're right and know you were wrong with your stupid self. You shouldn't say that. Yeah, I say stupid. But that's what it is when you say wrong things. That's your head talking and your heart is listening and it don't agree with. See, your head could be talking and your heart could be listening and it's totally disagreement. Your heart totally disagreeing for you. The heart said, come back over here with your dumb self. You just talking out of your head. You ever heard a person talk out of their head, saying things that shouldn't be said? Yeah. Now look at this number 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelet, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, families in the congregation, men of renown. There was supposed to be some important people. People like to follow people with some kind of backing, with some kind of notoriety, if I'm saying that right. People that are recognized by society. You see, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing that all the congregation are holding. every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then do you lift up yourself above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard that, Moses fell upon his face. Lord, have mercy upon these people, because he knew his heart was right. And he spake unto them, Korah, unto all his company, saying, even to this morrow, the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he had chosen will he cause to come near unto him. I want to get to the part where these people would separate themselves from Moses, and when God judged it, and the ground began to clave open, they kept murmuring, and you're going to see. Go down to that 12th verse. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. It's a small thing that thou hast brought us out of the land that flowed with milk and honey. Talking about Egypt. Egypt was not a man with a land of milk and honey. To kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. Moreover, thou hast not brought into the land, into a land flowing with milk and honey, or give it us inheritance, fields and vineyards. And will thou put out our eyes, the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Yeah, that's totally disrespect. Totally disrespect from God speaking. God was speaking to Moses. They totally disrespected God, because Moses just represented God. And Moses was very wroth and all, and said unto them, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, and neither have I hurt one. I'm trying to get with the ground. The ground cleave open. Yeah, look at the 21st verse. Moses and the Lord, 20th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, saying, separate yourself from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and saying, O God of the spirit of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will thou be brought with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from among the tabernacle of the of Korah. In other words, saying, you or those that don't know what's going on and just got stuck in this group, and get out right now, and so I can spare you, and get out, separate yourself. Some of them did, and some probably didn't. Some of them did, and some probably didn't. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch not nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sin. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of of their tents, and their wives and their children and their little ones. And Moses said, thereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all the work that I have done in, of them, are not of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if it be after the visitation of all men, then the Lord had not sent me. But the Lord will do a new thing. But the Lord make a new thing. And the earth open up his mouth and swallow them up and all that appertained to them. And they got down, and that they go down quick into the pit. And you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Now, I can't read the whole thing, Claire. But my point is that they did not separate themselves from Korah. Some of them did, some of them didn't. And they went down to the pit. And God could not reverse it. Moses pleaded before God. He only had mercy on a few people that the heart wasn't totally submitted to these things. So, class, separate yourself from wicked men. Men that say things that are not right. And God will be able to pre-adventure, be able to spare you. So keep your heart clear. Keep your heart clean, class. And do what is right by your spiritual leader. Class, you've been a good class. You listen so good. And I'll see you next week.